Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I hope someone out there heard us.
It's good to see you all here this morning.
It has been a stressful week in just about every avenue of my life, and I hear from others that has been the case for them too. Must be the season, right?
It's a stressful time in today's gospel for Jesus' followers as well. You remember when we started this cycle of teaching several weeks ago, we had an earlier iteration of this same teaching. It began with the disciples arguing about who was the greatest among them. Remember how Jesus handles that? He takes a child and places the child in front of them, and then takes the child in his arms. He says, "You must embrace the kingdom like a child would, with complete love and trust, with an openness and a vulnerability, without any sense of control or power." That is, in fact, what the debate is in today's reading. It is all about power, and in fact, it has been all about power from the very beginning of this cycle of teachings, this great cycle of teachings in Mark's gospel, which are all about humility and the critical importance of that in the Christian life. So important, in fact, that a number of scholars about Mark tell us that this may be the foundational teaching of Mark's gospel for a community like ours that is small, that is trying to figure out its direction, and that is finding life stressful.
What has stressed the disciples more than anything is Jesus tells them what is going to happen in Jerusalem, and it just goes in one ear and out the other. Of course, that seems to be true of all the teachings in Mark's gospel as far as the disciples are concerned. They have their own agendas, and no one more so, it seems, than James and John in today's reading who come to Jesus, and clearly they have been talking with each other, the two brothers, sons of thunder, as they're known in the tradition, who always speak what's on their minds, but they don't follow that instruction my grandfather had over his desk, which said, "Engage brain before opening mouth." Right?
a lesson that we must all learn, because that is part of humility as well. And they open their mouths and they say something, and the other disciples are angry with them, probably because they've been thinking the same thing, even though they were told just a few short weeks ago that this is not the way. This is not the way. And so Jesus plays along with James and John for a little bit, and he says, well, okay, if you can drink what I am called to drink and be baptized with the baptism I am called to be baptized with, that's great. Can you do that? Expecting them to really understand what he's saying, he's talking about the cup of pain and difficulty that he faces. And he's talking about not the baptism in the font, but the baptism of his death. And James and John are clearly clueless because they say, yeah, we're able. We'll sign up for that. Yeah. You read further in the gospel, they all run away from that when it begins to unfold. So Jesus finally has to back down onto bigger questions. And that is, it's not mine to grant. This is not my job. This is not how the kingdom of God works. And that should be, I think, arresting for all of us, particularly this late in the election season. Just this morning, we were discussing these texts, and somebody right outside those doors was talking in a very loud voice about election polls and the betting markets on the election and what he predicted with enormous confidence. Enormous confidence. Because predictive power is power, right? It gives us some sense of control about what's going to happen. And it was ironic to hear these texts in light of that conversation happening right up there and happening in our wider society. There is one body of commentary on Mark's gospel, which I think is very instructive for us this day. It is a text that was written in the 20th century by Chet Myers. Very dense text on Mark's gospel, but it is the title of the book that I think is so instructive to us. The title of the book, looking closely at Mark's gospel, is Binding the Strong Man. Binding the Strong Man. That is to say, the way in which God comes, not in great power, or with enormous worldly strength behind the divine, but comes with humility and self-offering and self-emptying. And the great ironic purpose of this self-emptying is actually to bind the powers of this world, the strong men of this world. If we meet like with like when it comes to the strength of this world, and particularly the strong man, all we get is a big battle. And you can define our world easily that way today. But Jesus brings a message which is, in fact, to, instead of confronting the strong man power to power, we are to let all of that go and begin to serve one another, and in that service, we completely undermine the whole question of worldly power. We short-circuit it, we might say. And in that moment, the strong man, the world that has made its existence predicated upon strength, is undone, or is bound. No longer has influence or control. For Jesus, this is about worldly powers, and it is about spiritual powers as well. Mark makes that very clear. All of that is bound by this willingness to give up power and to serve. And even death itself is undone.
living into that ironic and foundational teaching of our tradition, I would say is probably the hardest task for any of us and all of us together. It's hard for us as a community as well, because we live in a world where communities are pitted against one another in competition. Even Christian communities are. And we feel like we are competing for souls, and we are competing for resources. We are certainly, in this environment, competing for time. But Jesus points us out of the way of competition and instead to imagine ourselves wholly as servants, offering ourselves for the sake of love and the world's transformation. There's good news and there's bad news, right? The disciples don't get it, we don't get it. The good news is the disciples don't get it, we don't get it. But God's purpose unfolds nonetheless. The journey to Jerusalem will be completed, and the journey to the cross and to the tomb and out of the tomb will also be completed. Remember that the end of Mark's gospel, the original ending, ends with the empty tomb and Jesus' followers not fleeing with understanding, but with terror and amazement. They have no idea what this means. The message being God's purpose will be worked out, often despite us. And you know what? Right now, I find that kind of liberating. I am not in command of things. But we do have choices that we are making together as God's people in this place. And that is whether we're going to get on board with this gospel of service or whether we'll continue to play the gospel of the world, which is about. It's up to us. And it is a choice that we will not make once and for all. It is a choice that we are confronted with each and every day. In our lives, in this place, and in our hearts. Pray with me this week that we choose the path that Christ puts before us and follow him on the way.
Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast from the Episcopal Church of Our Savior, Mill Valley, California. We are a growing community welcoming those seeking to deepen their relationship with God and to journey in faith with God's people through the breaking of bread and in service to others in Christ's name. You may reach us by phone at 415-388-1907. Search for us online or at Facebook, or visit our website at cosmv.org. We wish you God's peace. We hope to greet you in person very soon.